It is great to be here this morning. I really count it a privilege and an honor to stand before you to share with you a portion of God's Word. I never take it lightly. We should never take it lightly when we share God's Word. We want to do it justice. We want to make good application. So that's my heart's desire to share with you Ephesians 3, 14 through 21, Paul's second prayer to the Ephesians. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, we'll be looking at verses 14 through 21, Paul's second prayer. And as a way of review, and for those who may not have been here yesterday, Paul's first prayer centers on the believer gaining the knowledge of all he or she possesses in Christ. Look back with me at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 through 19. Ephesians 1, 17 through 19, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his great might. Paul's second prayer has to do with taking that which we know and making application. James 1:22 says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only." Sad to say, there are many Christians who know the Word of God, but fail to live out the Word of God. And may I go so far as this, there are many in the grace movement who know the grace message, but yet can't live grace. The Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians that when we see the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, we are able to do all things. For Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. You see, knowing and doing, the two go together. They go hand in hand. Now, we have an adversary, don't we? We have an adversary who has made it his life goal to keep us from both knowing and doing. Satan, along with his demonic minions, sets out daily to hinder our spiritual growth in Christ. You see, Satan knows the moment we stop growing in Christ is the moment we begin to stop living for Christ. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. We sang as a child, and we find ourselves singing from time to time in a church band going somewhere or church outing. How are we at letting our light shine for Christ? John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy." And as discouraging and defeating that may be, the reality is we have at our disposal, as we heard in our first session, we have at our disposal all that we need to live out our new life in Christ. Philippians 3:10, that I may know Christ, may know the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. As believers, we can experience the power of God, the power of God. Marking in your notes, Job 26:14, the thunder of his power, who can understand it? Jeremiah 10:12, it is he who made the earth by his power. And in Job 9, verse 4, he is wise in heart and mighty in power, who has hardened himself against him and succeeded. Paul knew, by way of inspiration, that for the child of God to live out the word of God, the child of God must not only know the word of God, but must apply the divine power of God available to him in Christ. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength or power of his might. Paul's message for the Ephesians then and his message for us today is this. Mark this down. We have been saved by the power of God. Amen? To show off the power of God. And God is looking for opportunities in your life and my life to show off his power today. As believers, we are not only to know about God having this great power, or that we possess his great power in Christ, but that we are to personally manifest his great power in our lives today. How do we keep from hiding our light? How do we keep from putting our light under a bushel? How are we guarding our light against Satan's attempts to diminish it? To live victoriously for Christ, we are to live in his power, in his strength, and in his great might. Without him, we can do nothing. In the early 90s, Dana Carvey and Kevin Nealon played two Austrian bodybuilders on the television show Saturday Night Live. In a sketch, Hans, played by Dana Carvey, and Franz, played by Kevin Nealon, mimicked Arnold Schwarzenegger by using padding for fake muscles, drab gray sweatsuits, weight belts, and Austrian accents. The skit primarily consists of Hans and Franz denigrating others for not being strong and as physically fit as they were. And then striking, you know, that bodybuilder pose with muscled bodies, complete with strained facial expressions. They would say, "We're here to pump you up." Yes. The Apostle Paul is telling the believers at Ephesus, and he's telling us today, I'm praying to pump you up. Ephesians 3:14-21, let's begin. Verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For this reason or for this cause. In 1955, the actor James Dean starred in the movie A Rebel Without a Cause. In 62 A.D., Paul comes on the scene as a rebel with a cause. Paul's motivation to pray such a prayer comes as a result of witnessing the many who became discouraged as a result of the things that were happening to him. Remember where Paul is when he writes this letter. Paul writes Ephesians as well as Colossians and Philippians and Philemon while incarcerated in Rome. Paul, the ex-Pharisee, the one-time persecutor of Christians, the one who once put the followers of Jesus in jail, now finds himself confined for his faith in Christ. For this reason, I bow my knees. By Paul bowing his knees, he not only shows his submission to the Father's authority over his life, but also his love and concern for these believers. If we desire for God to display his mighty power in our life, then I suggest we follow Paul's example and pray that he do so. Pray for your spouse and your kids and your co-workers and your fellow believers that they receive the power, experience the power of Christ, the power of God in their life. For this reason, I bow my knees before or unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is in Hebrews 4:16, where it says, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There's times in our lives when we need his power. We need to experience his power. We come before the throne of grace to ask, I need to feel your power right now, flowing, rushing through me right now, because what I'm going through, I cannot do it alone. For this reason, Paul says, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. God the Father is the source of all the angelic beings in the heavens as well as the whole human race on the earth. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, verse 16, that according to the riches of his glory that are limitless and infinite, I'm asking him to grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner man. Here we have Paul laying out the purpose of his prayer. Paul prays that God will strengthen these believers with power through the vehicle of his Spirit. Pastor Marvin Duncan, in his publication, Letters from Paul, Ephesians, says this: during the signless dispensation of grace, the Holy Spirit quietly but powerfully works in believers to produce the fruit of the Spirit. What does Paul pray would be strengthened? That according to the riches of his glory that are limitless and infinite, I'm asking him to grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. In your inner being. What is our inner being or inner man? The outer man speaks of man's physical body. The inner man speaks of the spiritual element of man. Our spiritual man came into existence the moment our lost soul, the dead inner man, was regenerated, brought back to life by the presence and power of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 4:16. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self, the outer man, is wasting away. How true that is for us. For some of us. I don't know. They said you're going to get glasses when you hit 40. I think it was 42. Though our outer man, our outer self, is wasting away, our inner man, our inner self, is being renewed day by day. The plan of the Father is for our inner man, our spiritual man, to be strengthened through the power of the Spirit. What is the end result of our inner man being renewed day by day? Verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. The result of our inner man being strengthened by the power of God will be that Christ will completely dwell in our hearts. What does Paul mean when he wrote that our Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith? And what is faith? Taking God at his word. Taking God at his word. What does that look like when Christ dwells in our hearts? Christ dwelling completely in the heart of the believer means Christ is to completely occupy the believer's mind and therefore controlling his emotions. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When Christ dwells in our hearts, when he occupies our mind, then he is able to control our emotions. May you have the peace of Christ by the love of Christ who controls you. However, for Christ to dwell, to occupy, to have complete control over all, we need to pursue. We need to rely. We need to apply and experience his great power. Though we have received the Spirit of God and have been sealed by the Spirit of God, we still need to activate the Spirit of God, the power of the Spirit. How does one activate the power of the Spirit? What is the catalyst to unleashing the power of God in one's life? Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. You see, the key to living and experiencing a life that is powerful, living in the power of the Spirit, is unleashing by believing. Believing that Christ Jesus is able to do all things. 1 Corinthians 2:4, Paul says, "My speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." God is looking for ways to work in your life and my life to demonstrate His power. And how many times have you and I heard someone say, "Oh, I can't do that. That's not my strength." And that may be true. That may not be your strength. But God's looking for the person that, even though that's not my strength, I'm going to rely on your strength, amen? I'm going to rely on your strength. I'm going to give it a shot. Now, you may do something you never thought you'd do before. Maybe work in CBC or Awana, and after the years, it's, that's not my gift. I tried it. That's not my gift. My gift is over here. That's great. You know, at least you tried it. But let's not go into ministry or through life in our own strength, but in His strength. Because believe it or not, and you may be going through something right now, you don't know how you're going to get through it. Or maybe you can look back at a time in your life where it says, if it weren't for the love of Christ, I don't know how I would have gotten through that situation, that difficulty in my life. Christ is there. He is ready. We just need to believe He is able. Let me ask you this. Why are we here? Why are we here on this planet? Why doesn't God just take us home now? Why has He left us here? There are two things I've come to know. We are to know Him and to make Him known. Amen? To make Him known. We are God's marquee to the world. What's a marquee, some may say? The younger crowd, you know, I talk to a teenager. What's a marquee? I don't know what a marquee. You know, I remember going, you know what a marquee is? It's outside that movie theater. It shows you what's playing, right? Or a sign that's outside a business. Hey, 2-for-1 deal at this burger joint or something. It grabs your attention. And I've been through some towns, the old towns. You know, I mean, we had that family Bible conference out there in Sacramento. And I said, "Well, what about Sacramento? We're going to take old Route 66. And so we had, the whole thing's out there. There's portions of it you can hop on here and there. And so we hopped on. And we went to some old towns. Towns that were booming in their day, but now they're dead. And you go by an old movie theater, and the marquee is all rusted, the bulbs are all broken out, it's not lit up or anything. I see it ourselves as like, we're a marquee for God. What's showing? Yeah, when we come to know Jesus Christ, before we can know Jesus Christ, we're all that rusted marquee. We're broken. Our lights aren't working. And He takes us up and He cleans us off, He fixes the bulbs, and we shine for God. We draw people's attention to Him, not to us. We draw people to Him by what we do and what we say. You know, it is God's pursuit to manifest His glory through us. That's His pursuit. To manifest His glory through you and I. But it is Satan's pursuit to keep us from manifesting God's glory. Ephesians 6:12. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." You see, the thief, Satan, comes to battle against and attack our inner man. He comes and he wants to take his slingshot and pop out those light bulbs on that marquee. And yet, here comes God, and with His strength, we're able to replace those. God wants us to shine and manifest His glory. Satan wants to keep us from doing anything from manifesting God's glory. Because he knows that a Christian who is on fire with the power of God can do remarkable things. We just sometimes sit back in ourselves and look at our weaknesses instead of His strength. The thief comes to battle against the attack of our inner man. So who's winning their personal pursuit in your life? I need to ask that question for me personally. Who's winning? Is Satan winning in his pursuit and diminishing the light in my life? Or am I relying on the power of God through the Spirit in Christ to shine brightly for Him. It is Paul's prayer that we pursue holiness and godliness, and that requires that our inner man be empowered. Romans 8:37, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. As believers, we have all the power to live victoriously before God. Will we stumble? Yes. Will we stumble? Yes, we will. We're human. And I like the illustration, you know, from my house to the church, it's only 5 houses. I can walk to work back. It saves a lot of gas since we're moved to Carr Lake. But there have been some times when I've tripped over sidewalk cracks or roots. Probably done the same thing. We just went out west, and on our way to the conference, we took some time to go see my folks out there in Seattle, and you know, we did some hiking out there by the Grand Tetons on the way back. And I look a little foolish sometimes when I stumble over the rocks, but if I'm going down a sidewalk and I see that crack, I'm going to stumble over maybe once, twice, but I don't remember that crack's there. I'm going to step over that crack. I'm not going to hit it. So we need to know that we are victorious through the power of God. We can do all things. As believers, we have all the power to live victoriously before God. Paul doesn't say, I can do all things in Christ and stop. He continues. He says, who strengthens me? You see, there is the Hennessy Venom GT. The Hennessy Venom GT is one of the top speed street legal cars with a maximum speed of 270 miles per hour. The Hennessy Venom GT can go from 0 to 60 in 2.7 seconds. But unless you put the key into the ignition, the car isn't going anywhere. Even though all that potential is there. All the power is there to perform, but it takes a personal decision to turn the key for it to perform. We have at our disposal the power of God to strengthen us. We just need to determine and decide to believe that God will let it loose. We were meant to perform. We were created to, in Christ, to perform for Him. Yeah, we're not saved by works, but we are saved to do good works. And we are called to perform. Why does Paul pray that our inner man be strengthened, that we work out our salvation so that we be conformed more and more into the image, to see less of us and more of Him in our life? If we desire to work out, if we desire to see less of ourselves and more of Him in our life, then we need to make the decision to unleash God's power in your life. You know, see, Aspen loves to run. Holy Spirit wants to run. You see that? Holy Spirit wants to go places, but we hold back. I told Aspen, no, stay here, back off. And we do the same thing with the Spirit, by our fears. So I don't want to run as fast as you can. And that frustrates. It frustrates my dog when we don't run. It frustrates God. It frustrates the Holy Spirit when we don't run. And He wants us to run. He wants us to let loose. Yeah, if you're here today and you said, no, I can't do that, say, I can't, but He can. I'm going to try. I'm going to put my foot out of the boat. I'm going to release and trust You. Oh, Peter, when he's on the sea there in the storm, and he'll look out, and then Peter says, if that's You, Lord, call me out. And the Lord called him out. You know, the Lord calls us out of the boat, our own personal boat. What? To prove what? What we can do? No, what He can do. And so many times you and I are in the boat, we stay in the boat. Oh, yeah, He can do it, but I'm still staying in the boat. We need to step out of the boat. He calls us into the storm to prove who He is, not who we are, but what He can do through you and I. Amen? Yeah, I remember when Peter, yeah, he was doing fine until he took his eyes off the Lord and looked at the situation. We need to keep looking at Him. Whatever you may be going through, keep your eyes focused on Him so that we may be conformed more and more into His image, to see less of us and more of Him in our life. If we desire to work out, if we desire to see less of ourselves and more of Him, we need to make the decision to unleash God's power. Three things will happen as a result of having our inner man strengthened. Three things. If you let loose the power of God in your heart, in your life, three things. Christ will dwell in our heart, in your heart. The Greek word that is translated dwell literally means to be completely at home. At home. Completely at home. You ever say this? Make yourself at home. Huh? You have guests? Make yourself at home. Our home is open to you. I don't know about you, but when we have company coming over, and we've had some of you who are present in this room, we clean house. There was a time when we first got married, Linda said, I want you to vacuum the living room. I just vacuumed it yesterday. Well, I want to see the tracks of the vacuum. That didn't last very long. We clean house. But there's always that room or that drawer that we throw stuff in that we know they're not going to be. And then your wife comes home, you show them that room? Make yourself at home. When Christ dwells in our heart, He's at home. Is Christ at home in our hearts? Completely at home? Can He go anywhere? Everywhere? Yeah, they're sad to say, in my lifetime, there were some rooms I didn't want Him to go in. And that's all about God working on our salvation. I want you to have everything. No spot. No dust. Nothing that would be ashamed of. Dwell in our heart. Does Jesus feel at home in our heart? When we are strengthened by the Holy Spirit, the first result is that Jesus dwells in our heart, feels at home in our heart. As a result of having our inner man strengthened, we will comprehend the love of Christ. We will comprehend the love of Christ. When we are strengthened by the Spirit, we become rooted and grounded in love, which enables us to comprehend the depth of the love of Christ. How can we even begin to fathom the knowledge and love of God? When we are strengthened by the Spirit, our knowledge of God's love continues to increase. You never stop learning about God's love. Whether you read it in Scripture or you experience it personally, God's love for you. And so the more we learn, the more we're rooted and grounded in God's sacrificial love for us, shown in Christ, the easier it becomes for us to show sacrificial love toward another. Amen? When you see somebody on the side of the road with a sign, hungry, do I always stop? No. Should I? I don't know. There's a lot of scam artists out there. But there have been times when I lean on the Holy Spirit. This one, I will stop. You're driving down the road. And you see a young lady who's pulled off with a car that's broken down. Do you stop? You stop when you have an opportunity to share the gospel. There are opportunities if you just let loose the power of God in your life. And you can, when you're strengthened, you learn to comprehend the love that God has for us. And we're able to express that love to another. Oh, the forgiveness. We talked about forgiveness last night, huh? When we forgive each other, God has forgiven us. Why don't we forgive each other? It's because of God's love He's forgiven us. Therefore, if Christ liveth in me, we should forgive one another. Then the third result of being strengthened by the Spirit, we will be filled with the fullness of God. Paul's prayer for us as believers, to be filled to the brim, to overflow with the fullness of God. Being filled with the fullness of God has to do with living out fully that which we already possess fully. God wants to go. He wants us to unleash His power. He wants us to unleash Him and let Him work through us. What does being filled with the fullness of God look like? To be filled with the fullness of God means to be completely compelled by His divine love, totally dominated by the Lord, leaving nothing of ourselves, all for Him. According to Romans 15:13, being filled up with the fullness of God means being filled with joy and peace. When you are filled with the fullness of God, though you may not like the situation you found yourself in, you can have still joy and peace through it. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, living a life of conviction, what's right and what's wrong. Not only did the Holy Spirit provide Paul with the power to bring the message, but God also made it possible for him to do so with full conviction, having the full assurance that what he was saying was true. When you live in the strength of his might, with the power, when you're sitting on a plane some 25 years ago, going up to Seattle to see a friend, and you're on that airplane, and that flight is 4 hours long, and you're sitting there, and you're recalling your lessons of EE, evangelism, exposure. If you're sitting next to somebody and you want to strike up a conversation, you want to use what we're talking about and tie that back to the gospel, right? And so I'm sitting there next to this gentleman who was a surgeon, I believe he was in the army, and he's going back to Seattle, going back home for some R&R. And I'm sitting there and he's talking about how when you're out there on patrols, you have a buddy system. The guy, you're looking out for the guy in front of you, his back, and the guy behind you is looking out for your back. And that EE came back. And I said, you know what? I have a Savior who's looking out for my back. And he said this. He says, don't you believe that all these, all these are different paths of God? And I sat there. And the fullness of God, being compelled by the love of God, I had to say, no, I do not. There's only one way to heaven. Acts 4:12 says, there's no other way to get into heaven to make you say that Jesus Christ. Amen. And so, but that took, for me, I said, that was like 1 hour into the flight, before I said that. I got 3 hours with this guy, And so when I said that, and I took the boldness step, as you would have experienced also in your own life, you felt a peace. When we share the gospel, we ask them, can I ask you a question? If you were to die, where would you go? Some will say heaven, some will say hell, some say don't know, or some say I hope so. And I say, do you want to know for sure? Yeah, I want to know for sure. No, I don't want to know. Well, if you don't want to know, then you want to know, you've got to talk to God. But sharing the gospel with someone, that is a, when you're in the presence of God and the power of His strength, because I'll be the first one to raise my hand. I mean, there are some times when I got nervous sharing the gospel. And there are some people on my block who I've yet to share the gospel with. Tori, right down the street, man, he's got a buzz cut, he's got tattoos, he's pretty rough. For some reason, the Lord hasn't put upon my heart to speak to him at this point in time. But every time I go by Tori's house, I pray, Lord, your timing, your timing. And there's times when I've talked to other people. But lean on God's timing, God's power, God's strength. And whether sharing the gospel or living out the fruit of the Spirit, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit yesterday. I believe we get them at the same time. It's just pruning. It's just cultivating. We have this, when we take long trips, like come to conferences, we pick up a rental car and this rental car we have, I can push a button. It tells me my four tires and where the air pressure is. And each tire. This one's got 42, this one's 44, 44, 43, It's like, we need to evaluate our spiritual life and our spiritual growth in the fruit of the Spirit. Where am I with love and peace and patience and kindness and faithfulness and gentleness? Where am I with that? Allow God to cultivate the power, the fullness of God to work in our lives. Warren Wiersbe said, full assurance in the will of God is a tremendous blessing. It is not necessary for the believer to drift in life. He can know God's will and enjoy it. As he learns God's will and lives it, he matures in the faith and experiences God's fullness. When we placed our faith and trust in Christ, we were completely immersed into the Spirit. God has nothing more to put into us. He has put His very self into us. If we're struggling in our faith, it's not due to the lack of God's full salvation, but a lack of full obedience, trust, and submission. We need to submit before Him. I cannot do this on my own. I need your strength. I need your power. I release myself to you so you can be released. Are you in need of being strengthened with God's power? Sad to say, there are many who believe experiencing such power is either unattainable, if not impossible. God will never give me all that, one would say. I'll never be able to be a Christian like that, one would say. If you believe that, just look at the next verse, verse 20 of chapter 3. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. God is able. God is able to do what we ask through prayer. God is able to do the unimaginable. Unimaginable. I want to tell you something. 1980 or so, I was a part of a music group. And we had this reunion concert. And all these singers got on this school bus. And we were coming back from this concert. And it was evening. It began to rain. And the windshield wipers began to slow down. And the lights became dim. And so we're sitting there, and through the example of others, and we need to pray. We need to pray that God would intervene, that God would show Himself. And so we pray. And we pray, and the gentleman got out of the bus, and they put the flares out in the back. And not soon after we got done praying, a vehicle pulled up behind us. We saw the lights shine through the back window. And we come to find out, here is a Greyhound bus. But let me not stop there. An empty Greyhound bus. You tell me God doesn't intervene? God doesn't show His power? God wants to do the same thing in your life and my life. He wants to show His power. The infinite ability of God to work beyond our prayers and thoughts is by the power at work within us. And as you see His dynamic power working through your life, take a moment to praise His name and give to Him all the glory. Verse 21, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Before Joshua took the nation of Israel across that Jordan River into the promised land, Joshua 3:5, it says, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. And God wants to do amazing things in and through you today. Casting Crowns has that new song, Thrive. I want to read a verse, or sing, not sing, I want to read a portion of that song. Just to know you and to make you known, we will lift your name on high. Shine like the sun. Make darkness run and hide. We know we are made for so much more than ordinary lives. It's time for us to do more than just survive. We were made to thrive. Joy unspeakable, faith unsinkable, love unstoppable. Anything is possible. And last verse, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, Paul says this, but he said to me, the Lord said to Paul, and he says it to us today, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace as we conclude. And we thank you for the opportunity to be reminded of this great power that is at our disposal, that you have given to us. We just need to rely on it, trust it, believe it. You have called us for a purpose, and that is to shine brightly for you before others, that man will be drawn to you. Allow each person to see themselves, evaluate who has the upper hand. Is the Satan winning his pursuit to diminish the light within us, or are we shining brightly for you? If there are some light bulbs that need to be replaced because Satan has taken his slingshot and taken some shot at us, we trust that you will replace those and continue to let us shine for you. We love you. We adore you. We want your fullness. We want to experience that completeness in Christ through the power of your Spirit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.